Time parameters.
9 minutes.
Hello and welcome to the DS9 Minute, the Green Shirt minicast where we discuss an episode of DS9 in less time than it takes to escalate some minor diplomatic tension to all-out civil war. I am Cameron, who's getting his first peek inside the orb of enlightenment that is DS9, as is Rob Campbell.
I've been supplying weapons to John to fight Bobby, who doesn't know that it's me that's supplying them.
And those who have known for a while that the stones are straight, it's they who are crooked. Miss Bobby Blue.
Man, I just hate being mind raped.
And producer John T. Bolds.
I too was really bad at art when I was 4, to apparently the great shame of my parents.
Well, this week we watched The Circle. Producer John, let's get useful.
All right.
Franklin Jill at the beginning, he was under the impression that Kira was a pain in Sisko's neck, and Sisko's all like, well, that was season one. That was early season one. Don't worry, it's fine now.
We come out of the previously on, and Majel Barrett says, and now the continuation. If I didn't already know it was a three-parter, we've got a hint right there.
Yeah, first time we've ever heard that. I love that by the time Vedic Bryle shows up in Kira's quarters after the fantastic opening in her quarters, fully... three of the six people in that room are romantically interested in her. It's like, oh man, this show is great. Yeah.
I couldn't get over just the phrase that was, come inside with me. Come, Kira. Sorry to go straight there, guys. But
Jake finds more graffiti. Are we supposed to believe that there are fewer Ring doorbells in the future? Like, what's the Star Trek equivalent? What is the Star Trek equivalent of the Nextdoor app? And is it still, it's probably a little bit less racist, but.
No, it's still plenty racist.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, John, that scene in Kira's quarters, the Kira farewell scene, I mean, the best scene in Star Trek history? I don't know. It was amazing. I went from cackling to like kind of being a little emotional when she says her friends. Julian's whole like just not knowing what's going on when he walks in was it was just like it was great. It was like a fantastic stage play.
Yeah, I will build on that and say that little one act play, those 2 minutes were more poignant than any crew interactions TNG has had so far in 6 years.
100%.
Yeah.
I wrote Friends comedy scene, one of the best in Trek history. Odo and Kira, one of the best scenes ever, just between them. Yeah. And boys, I hate to say this, and by boys, I mean you. This is how you do a goodbye scene. That's not a goodbye scene. So, yeah. I mean, it was so great.
It was a great scene. And when Vedic Barail shows up, I thought of the fact that when Paul Rudd was on the final season of Friends, and like Marta Kaufman and Jennifer Aniston are like crying, saying goodbye, tearful goodbyes, and Paul Rudd would go over and be like, it's been quite a ride, hasn't it? Like he would go over and jokingly say like, man, we did it. And I love that.
In that scene, I love that Odo says to Kira, well, you know, you're all right after I smoothed your rough edges.
Ew, gross.
Ironic considering his face.
They smooth each other. Oh, they smooth each other. Yuck.
Yeah. I really enjoyed like O'Brien, not really heavy in this episode, but the little bits he is here and there, it's like, oh, yeah, he's just helping out his crew, helping out his buds, doing his work throughout the whole episode.
It might just be like 1.5 seconds that we get to see a Jake back cut out, but that's pretty fucking radical.
Yeah.
I mean, that costuming was kind of crazy at the time.
I didn't catch it.
What?
Yeah, when he's at the door. Yeah.
Funny.
Vedic Bareil tells Kira that it might be interesting for her to explore useless for a while, see how it feels. How does it feel, Cam?
Oh! Oh.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I got no comeback. So he told that guy, Bareil, told Kira that she was going to look at the Orb of Prophecy. But after seeing the vision, I think it's more the Orb of the Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, yeah.
The way he's framed behind her and the lighting and the nudity. Like, it looked like every 90s erotic thriller poster.
It's so creepy.
Yeah, Bajoran in the Bone Zone. I will say they made the right choice with Vedic Wynn by saying, no, she's not evil. She's just really into the Bajoran HOAs, and so she is the most evil.
That's good. Sisko, booyah, number 87, old earth idiom in your face. Take that warm wind from Minicoy. Biatch.
I'll say this about the orb. Oh, sorry.
No, that's it.
I'll say this about the orb. Just like all technologies, it has evolved into just a way to experience porn.
Maybe. Yeah.
This is the second time Odo's turned into a rat, right? Like, how many rats are there in Bajoran space? We don't see any other human or earthling animals in the wild that aren't pets, but except maybe rats.
And why would you choose a rat? Just choose tape.
Can't you still see as the control panel? Can't you? But I really, really like the conversation between Sisko and like the general who we haven't, I don't believe we've actually met before, but just so that conversation is like, this is good writing. This is good grown-up TV.
It's me. I also want to say that I adore that like Sisko trusts Jake. Like if Jake is like, your son's been waiting on the line and he hears from Jake, like, no, Dad, I really need you. He's like, I'll be right there. Like the fact that like a father like just trusts his 14, 15-year-old son is kind of cool.
But yeah. I do think Jake could have just told him that on the phone.
Yeah, totally.
Dad,
but still,
there's some graffiti on the door.
But the fact that he's willing to like leave, like to go to his son and trust him was kind of cool.
New fashion from Kira. We had casual Kira and we had naked Nerys. And I want to know what's next. Modest dressed major? I don't know.
Bit Peter Pan Kira. That's all I got. Some great elevator shots in this episode.
Yeah.
Next.
Much better than season one elevator shots, for sure. Yes.
No, there's two very cool shots with the elevator.
Yeah. I will say, kidnapping Kira, that's a risky move by Jaro.
Oh, nice. Vedic Wynn is a smiling cunt face. She does it best. Her evil is like the nemesis I wish more of in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree. I love when the enemy is like orthodox values or any type of aggressive or non-progressive conservative bullshit. I love that. I love cheering against that stuff.
Yeah. To John's point, I mean, the Circle, they are such jerks. You could almost call them the
Circle
jerks.
I didn't say it. You guys said it.
I didn't say it.
You thought it.
It'd be more interesting if it was a Circle jerk.
I'm very impressed with how Frank Langella is like, all right, I'm doing this guest bit on Star Trek. I'm going to still put my all into it.
And so
like,
good.
Just squat up here, you know, speaking down to Kira. There's so much looking up in this 3-episode arc, like people looking up at stuff, and he keeps the compelling going.
Is Kira like the matriarch or the nexus or the center or the apex? It's like, is she like connecting them all? Is that what that friend scene meant? And like, is that why Sisko's like, I need you? Like, is Kira actually more important than anybody in the station? Right now, it seems like she might be the most important.
She's the connective tissue between the planet and the station.
Quark is most important. We all know Quark. Yeah. And I'll say that I love Odo and Quark in full-on Casablanca mode. I love them there. It's a great dynamic.
Yeah,
I didn't have any notes on that. I'm here for it. Here for it.
100%. So Star Trek has red shirts. DS9 has brown shirts?
Yes.
Yeah. Khaki shirts.
Is that going to continue?
Yeah. Bajoran militia definitely get the short end of the stick. I do have notes about the Odo Quark scene. Like, it's always good when Quark busts out with the full on laugh, just the ridiculous, because he did it in the pilot episode. It's it's like every time it's like, oh no, you're on the good guy team now. He just laughs his ass off.
Yeah, but this one was kind of so loud. Was anybody else thinking, like, man, the voiceover recording is so bad? Like, did anybody pick up on, like, is everything a voiceover? Was it all recorded in studio?
You could tell when it shifts in the middle of a scene, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
Political revolution, secretly supported by the enemy, Sisko disobeying shitty orders. This episode has it all. I love all that. Seems really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Frank Langella, Louise Fletcher, Richard Bayer, all guest starring in the same episode in a 3-part series right off the bat in season 2.
Oh.
DS9 just swinging its giant pylon around.
Yeah. And for a part 2 of the first ever part, 3-part of Star Trek, like, they escalated it right. You know, episode 1, Kira's off the station. Episode 2, everybody needs to get off the station. Like, that is an excellent way to escalate the tension.
Great point.
Yeah. Quick question. What if the orbs are just data mined spirituality? Maybe that's a feature of religion.
Well, I mean, that's now you got me thinking maybe the orbs are just part of like mining crypto. Maybe they're just there to help.
Oh, shit.
Absolutely. Sort of, just warming up Bajor.
All right. We got 10 seconds. Guys, help me with this joke. So he says to Kira, or Kira says, I'm going to destroy your arboretum. No, he's going to destroy her arboretum. There's something there.
Yeah. I was like, well, maybe you should try woodworking first.
He's going to pollinate her. Yeah.
I'll fertilize that.
I'm going to use my stamen.
I'm going to kill your bush.
Oh, yeah.
No one's flirted more creepier than him since Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. Which is funny because that last shot of Wynn and Jaro looking out the window, I was like, this is such a Star Wars
so
shot.
Gross.
That is true. That's true. All right.
That's it.
Well, good middle parter. To make another Star Wars comparison, the best middle part since Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah.
I think so.
Since there's very few three-parters.
I know, yeah.
The guest actors are, like, phenomenal. Like, oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode is so good.
Yeah.
It kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there's that whole scene between two of the guest stars. None of our regular cast in it, but it's like captivating and doesn't feel too disconnected from everything. Like it still feels important to the overall story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did it.
All right.
I'm so excited. We're into season two already for DS9.
All right. Well, tune into season 7 of The Next Generation with Interface next week, and then we'll be back for the exciting conclusion of this three-parter. In 2 weeks.
I'm sure Interface is exactly as good as this episode.
They did use the word interface at one point in this episode, and I was wishing that DS9 would always fit in TNG's title in its previous episode. That would be fun for them to do.
Awesome. Easter egg.
They're on like warp 4 away from TNG. They could give two shits about that. They're like, we're going to be so much better. I feel bad for TNG, actually.
Aww.
A little bit, because this is when like people are like, why don't you do a little bit more of this in TNG? Like, you're doing it right now with, yeah, that's the thing. I don't understand.
It is funny.
You know, like, show the same love.
Over on the Enterprise, you know, we're worried about Troy getting a sweet tooth or Worf losing a hand of poker. Exactly. Meanwhile, like, they're embroiled in civil war on TS9. Yeah,
holy war on a planet. Yeah.
Totally different premises, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks.
And
see you soon.
That's right. See you soon.